Amen. If you got a Bible, if you'll get it and turn to Psalm chapter 13, we're in part three of our series, and I'm excited and humbled by what the Lord has for us today. If you're here last week, I was gone. Craig preached a great sermon out of Psalm 145. And if you were here, I know that you heard the truth of where he was coming from about what it means to praise the Lord when you're not feeling it. And what he did is he honed in on, from Psalm 145, he honed in on the first seven verses, I believe, and he gave us some truths of what we do when we want or we should praise, but we're just not feeling it. And he reminded us of that we need to remember who God is, and we need to confess and repent and join with other believers. But today's I'll call it a continuation from last week, but it's going to press a little bit deeper than in the pain, in the sorrow, if you will. Because here's a question for you. What if you're feeling it, but you don't know where God's at? What if you feel like praising and you feel like worshiping and you're crying out to the Lord and you hear silence? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever felt that moment where you desperately long for the Lord and you just wonder where he's at? Be it your pain, be it your circumstances, be it something you've gone through, be it a sickness, a hurting, a divorce, a pain with your children, a wayward child, something going on in your life, some circumstance that has caused you to cry out to the Lord and you're feeling it and there's nothing. Six verses today. And again, don't raise your hand, but how many of you are, well, you can if you want to, it's not a shame thing, but how many of you in here are into doing a diary? Do people still do that? Like if you journal or keep something private, you write, you do? Okay, don't raise your hand, no big deal. I didn't know if people still do that, but what we're about to do, I told you when we started this series 3 weeks ago when I introduced the book and we looked at Psalm chapter 1, that there is a beautiful public and personal truth here. These psalms were read in temple worship. And I told you, we're going to get to the gut-wrenching emotion. And last week in 145 was these praises and praises of what it's like to praise the Lord. But today is going to be, if you flip the page over and you found yourself in David's diary of what it's like to question God. Christians would never do that, would they? You would never do that. You would never find yourself questioning the Lord, would you? I bet we would more than we think. So here's what I want to do. Let's read six verses. We're going to pray and we're going to break this apart about how long is the sermon title of the day? How long, God? How long have I got to wait? Six verses. Let's read it and we'll pick it apart. David says this. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing praises to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Let's pray. Father, as we peel back a layer and look to the true heart of David in a moment of utter desperation and longing after you, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that everybody in this room, that we prepare ourselves to put ourselves against the text, for some of us may be going through this. Some of us, it may be around the corner. Maybe some of us will be so fortunate never to have a pain and never to question you and never to wonder how long they're going to have to wait in their situation or circumstance. But I pray, Lord, that you and your Spirit today would remind us that you love us, that you care about us, and there are truths that we can pull from today's text to help us in this situation. And as we cry out to you and as we press into you, that we can overcome all things, not because of anything we can bring to the table, but because of our Savior Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I mentioned this. This is as I began this series. These are songs that were meant to be read in public worship. And I don't know about you, but would you want me to grab your diary and bring it up here and read it and say, let's all benefit from it, all right? Anybody want to volunteer their diary this morning? Nobody? Nobody? One psalm, six verses, but it's broken into three stanzas. We're going to see a problem, we're going to see David's petition, and we're going to see him result in praise. And what I want to do today is the last half of 145 that Craig preached last week. That's going to tie in today. So if you want to kind of find a place in Psalm 145, we're going to go back to that in just a minute. But let's look at the very first thing. What's the problem? Look at this time frame. Look at the first two verses. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? Four times in these two verses, he says, how long, how long, how long? How long are you going to hide your face from me? How long am I going to have to wrestle with my thoughts day after day, and I'm going to have sorrow in my heart? And how long will my enemies triumph over me? I want you to see the depth of the emotion here, and I want you to see that David is in specific turmoil. We don't know. Scholars debate on why he's in the situation, and that's not the bottom line, because if there's a couple of things we know, that we can't trust our feelings and that our circumstances will change. And if we base our relationship with Jesus based upon what happens to us, then we will go back and forth like waves in the ocean, blown around, and until things happen to us that are quote-unquote good, then we will always be distant and separate from the Lord. Notice the timetable here. Notice he says, how long, how long, how long? He feels forgotten. He feels forsaken. He feels as though God is not just absent, but he is purposely and intently hiding his face from him. The face is the intimate. If you have an intimate relationship with somebody, you're going to speak to them. If it's your spouse or your child, there's an intimate relationship with the face, the eyes of the soul. And he feels like the Father in heaven is not just gone, but he's purposely hiding from him. He's wrestling with his thoughts, sorrow. And I think if we're honest, I think we could all attest to this. I think we can all attest to times in our lives where we've gone through, or something's happened in our family, something's happened to somebody we love. And we cry out because we desire the Lord to intervene, and we just wonder, and we wonder, and we wonder, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait. I've done it. Craig mentioned he's done it last week, and I bet you've done it. And we'll find ourselves in those moments. We'll regurgitate prayers. We'll worship out of habit. We'll do religious routines. And we'll come back and we'll layer ourselves with these religious redundancies. And we'll just do things out of emotion and out of religion. But we'll never get to the heart, because I'm a firm believer. And if anybody tells you, you better watch how you speak to the Lord and don't share those honest moments, that's garbage is what that is. When we look at the perfect example of David crying out and said, God, how long is it going to take? How long do I have to wait? We can't trust our feelings. We can't trust our emotions. We can't trust circumstances. But David is pressing the matter of time. How much longer? How much longer? I'm going to use this word. It's a strong word. I hate to wait. Anybody else despise waiting? I struggle, thank you, Jimbo, for being honest. I struggle. That hand went up really quick, too. All right. I despise waiting. I've shared some of this before. If it's traffic, if it's waiting in a line, we went on a vacation. We went to New York City last week, and there's people everywhere, and we're in line. And you can ask my wife. I wasn't even in control, which is part of the problem. I wasn't driving. I wasn't doing anything. I'm standing in line, and I'm constantly looking around and thinking, that one's going quicker. Let's go over here, this line. You ever done it at the grocery store and you think, crud, that one's, you go get in that line, I'll stay in it. You've done that, haven't you? Let's spread our family out, and whoever goes first will all meet at the front, right? And I've been so bold. We went to the Statue of Liberty. It was really neat, and they had a line for people who had tickets, and they had another one called something else. I didn't know what that meant. And I saw people going, and that line was moving pretty quickly, and I had to ask the lady. I said, hey, I have to know. What is that line for? And she was like, oh, those are guys who got their tickets today, and this is the line for people who already bought their tickets. And I was thinking, yes, this one's shorter. Awesome. So we kept going, but I had to know because I like control. Anybody else like control? There's a funny thing about waiting. It's typically on things that you can't control. It's typically about things in your life that you desperately want, things you want to happen to you, but they don't in your time frame or in the manner of which you would prefer, and then you find yourself shaking your fist at God and waiting. I know you probably have a laundry list of things, but I remember years ago where me and Megan, we wanted to have a child. Got your attention, didn't I? We wanted to have a child. We got pregnant. We thought, hey, it's roses from here, right? I mean, what else? I mean, we're just going to have, you know, the 9 months, we'll have a baby, it'll be great. And then we found out about this mysterious thing that I've heard about, read about, and all these things called a miscarriage. And I found out that there was this, apparently, this underground society of all these people that have been there, done that, and I'm thinking, who knew? I remember taking the trash out. I remember one night going out because I was so mad at God. I was so frustrated and mad. I even got so deep inside myself, I resented people who were having babies. How long, God, do I have to wait to have a kid? And I remember after church on a Sunday night, well, the mom comes and talks to me because her child got a girl pregnant. And she begins to use words to explain to me. And she says this, you know what? I'm not an advocate of abortion, but that's a lot for him to deal with. I was mad. I said, God, I want a kid. And they don't want a kid. How long do I have to wait? How much longer is it going to take for me to get what I so desperately want? We'll take a kid, God. How long? How long? How long? Now, that was something in my story, and I guarantee you, not in this room today, but I guarantee in your story, you may have a how long? So I say that to you because it's not about feeling sorrow. It's not about just saying, oh, pity me. So no, it's about understanding that it is okay to be frustrated as we press into the Lord and we come in. Because you know what David never said? He asked these questions, but he says, there's a reason why we don't know the specifics, because he's not asking God to change the circumstances. He just wants to know how long. There's a reason why scholars debate on what the actual circumstances were, because he didn't mention it. Let that settle on you for just a minute. We don't even know. And to find myself getting to the point in my darkness of my soul, and I've got the microphone, so I'm going to share it. You can share one afterwards if you want to. But to find myself resenting people who are having babies because David didn't get what he wanted. Shame on me. But this resonates to me now more than ever. Do you have a how long? Do you have a God, where are you? When you're feeling it, you're saying, God, I want to see you. I want to see you intervene. How much longer? And it's crickets. It's silence. Do you have a moment like that where you wonder? How much am I going to have to wrestle my thoughts and I have sorrow in my heart? I feel like I'm being triumphed over by my enemies. David presses this matter of time, and that's so important because there's something about that we love to control. I love the Word of God. I love Scripture because it reminds us and it tells us that God knows. Can I look at you for just a minute? I've been looking at you all morning. I love the Word of God because God knows my heart and He knows your heart. He knows that you desire to know. He knows that you desire to have a time frame and a schedule and want to know the answers. And a couple of things, these are on the screen, don't turn there. But listen to what some New Testament, look at this. Psalm 31:24 says, be strong and let your heart take courage, all who wait for the Lord. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 29 says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall find exhaustion. But they who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles, and they shall run, and they shall not be weary, and they shall walk, and they will not be faint. I love that Scripture tells us that because it shows me that God knows my heart and he knows that I want to know things. But this time, 2 Peter 3 tells us, it's on the screen too, it says, but don't overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like one day. I'm just going to be honest with you. That frustrates me sometimes. But you know what it shows me? That David's time frame is not the Lord's. And as we wait, because you know what? Here's the reality, but here's the truth, and here's the something that weighed me all week, because it'd be easy for me to come up with a formula, and A, if you get to B, and then C is going to work out. Do you know that some of us may wait forever? Answers in this life, and sometimes Scripture continues. I just read several of them, from the old to the new, that time is not relative. Time is the Lord's, who operates outside of time. And you know what? Sometimes the answer in our turmoil, in our how long, you know what the answer is? Wait. Hold on. Can I tell you something? And I can tell by some of your facial expressions, that doesn't settle real well on you, just like it doesn't settle well on me. Because I want God to come in and say, it's going to take 6 months, 2 days, 3 weeks, press on, hold on. But I can tell you this, we can trust the promises of God. We just sang about them. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Yes. Yes. And I don't know your story. I shared part of mine. Some of you are waiting on maybe a job, maybe for a sick to get well, for financial struggles to go away, maybe for a child, maybe you desire a child, maybe it's you desire a spouse, maybe your marriage, maybe you're in the midst of conflict with somebody and you're just waiting it out, hoping that someday it's going to magically get better. Maybe you got personal sin in your life, and as Craig mentioned last week, we need to repent that and we need to come back to the Lord with it. Maybe you're waiting for somebody in your family to give their life to Jesus, and you're just maybe a grandparent or a parent, and you're just praying, God, how long, how long, how long? Maybe you're waiting on the sermon to finish. Charles Spurgeon says this, that Jesus is worth waiting for. It's easy to say it from the pulpit, and I've got more to go, but when the pain comes crashing in, and it's easy to say, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. But when Scripture reminds us that, because Spurgeon says that it's worth waiting for, the waiting itself can be beneficial for us. It can try our faith. It exercises our patience. It trains our submission under his kingship. It endears us for the blessing when it comes. The Lord's people have always been awaiting people. I could stand up here for 30 more minutes. I'm not. Don't stress out. For 30 more minutes going through biblical characters of everybody who had to wait on the Lord. I gave that example of waiting for a child. Can I tell you something? When the Lord saw fit in his perfect timing to give us the children, I have a whole new respect for the process. We wait. Look at his petition, verse 3 and 4. So he cries out, how long, how long? And then look at what his request is. 3 and 4 in your Bibles, chapter 13. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. 3 imperatives here. Look, answer me, and give light to my eyes. Have you ever been ignored? Maybe you've never had an argument with your spouse. I'm just going to say this. I have, okay? Can we all just relax a little bit this morning? Have you ever had an argument with your spouse or a friend or something, or maybe you're with one of your children or whatever, and you ever been ignored, or you go up to talk to them and they won't look at you? Kind of frustrates you a little bit. You're like, just look at me. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Y'all would never say that. Look at me when I'm talking to you. See this desperate plea. How long, how long, how long, how long? And now he's saying, God, I just want you to look on me. Don't ignore me, please, just look on me. If you're looking for a prayer request, this is what he's saying. He says, look on me. And from number 6, you can write this down later if you want to. But what he's referring to is the covenant of Aaron. When Aaron says in number 6:24, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. David knew that. May we know that. So as you wait, can I give you some of David's instructions as how we pray, saying, Father, would you just look on me? I want to see your face. I want to see your countenance. I want to see intimacy. Don't hide your face from me. I desire intimacy. But you know what I do sometimes in my waiting, in my, I won't even call it suffering because that kind of seems a little bit, I don't know if that even fits, but I do sometimes what children do. I turn my back and I'll even cross my arms and I don't want to deal with it. But I long for that moment. Stay with me, catch this. For that moment, if you've ever had to discipline your child and you get to that point where there's a renewal there and you get through all the emotion, you get to the heart of the issue, and then there's that moment where they finally turn around and you see them. Just look at me. And then he requests the Lord. He says, answer me, verse 3. He longs for a response. It's okay, church, in your waiting to say, God, I just need to hear from you. I want to hear an answer. Would you just do it? And you may be praying for years and months. God, just talk to me and speak to me. David longs for intimacy, and that intimacy is what's missing and what's lacking. And thirdly, he says, give light to my eyes. Brock's illustration. I'm convinced that part of VBS is just seeing how Brock's going to dress up at VBS. I'm just going to lie. That was a little cooler than the gorilla suit that one time, wasn't it? Look at me, answer me, and give light to my eyes. Imagine that situation with the utter darkness. What David longs for, he's longing to see the hand of God move. And I ask you to look at 145 from last week, and I want to tie this. Look at Psalm 145, 13 through 18. It'll be on our big Bible on the screen if you forgot yours. Psalm 145, 13 through 18. Listen to this understanding of who God is in this moment. He's asking God to intervene. He's asking God to open up his eyes so he can see the hand of God. Not just understanding, but to see it. And look what he says in Psalm 145, 13. He says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Everlasting is the key word there. And your dominion endures through all generations. Listen to the character of God. The Lord is trustworthy in all of his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes, did we talk about that a while ago? The eyes? The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. And you open up your hand, and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near, near, near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. So many times, children get mad. God's children get mad when we just don't get what we want. I'm a testimony of that. And because we're mad, we respond. Excuse me. It's more like we react instead of responding. David shows us how to press in. How to come to him, how to talk, how to listen, how to even question how long. And I don't know where you're at this morning. We're going to finish up the last two verses and we're going to tie this up. But I want to say something to you. Whatever you're waiting on, you know it. Whatever you're waiting on, would you just let the Holy Spirit speak those two verses to you just as you know how to pray and press in? David takes a dramatic shift. And as you read these six verses, it's almost like he's got a multiple personality, starting here and he's ending with praise. He's ending with, God, where are you? You're hiding from me. I feel desperate and I'm longing. And he ends with praise. But I trust, verse 5 says, but I trust in your unfailing love and my heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing praises to the Lord, for he has been good to me. The bottom line as we get through and we navigate through these six simple verses is that the bedrock, the foundation of David's hope is not in circumstances, it's not in understanding, it's in the love, the unfailing love of God. I think of Job 13, 15. If you know Job's story, he went through unrelenting pain, lost it all. And he said this quote in verse 15. He says, though you slay, he used the word slay, though you slay me, yet I will trust him. Can I be honest with you, church? I can trust God when everything's going good. But we can trust him when it's not. We can trust him when the world presses in on us. We can trust him when things aren't going the way we want. And we can trust him when we're waiting, we're impatient, and we can pray, and we can plead, and we can say, God, look on me, answer me, give light to my eyes, let me see your hands, see your works. And may we get to the praise, may we get to the part of saying, but I trust in your unfailing love. I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. I'm not going to ask you to say anything out loud, but I want to ask you a question. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? It's probably your, hopefully it's your spouse, hopefully it's your, maybe your kids, maybe you're like, I don't trust them. Maybe, who in your life do you trust? And I want you to think about why you trust them. There's probably a track record, right? There's probably a track record of, I can give you this, I can share this with you, and it ends with you. I can bear my soul to you, and it's going to stop there. I can trust you that you care about me as much as I care about me. Some of these people may be your closest friends. I pray that that's the approach that I and that we can have as we can praise and say, God, I trust you. My heart rejoices, and I love that it rejoices. If you've got nothing else to sing about, nothing else to worship about, nothing else to have joy about, you can have joy in your salvation. That God stepped out of heaven and he took on your sin and he died for you. David says it again in Psalm 145, verse 20. He says, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name. If everything is stripped away, David reminds us that regardless of our circumstances, we have a reason to praise. In Psalm 86, 12, he says, I praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Psalm 146, 2, he says, I will praise you, the Lord, all my life. In verse 6 today, says, I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I said this was going to tie into last week, and I want to reiterate something that Craig said, and he mentioned it. He said, how has the Lord been good to you? That's where we start. We praise and we worship and we thank him. As I close, I don't know where you are today, and I know it's a heavy thing, but I'm going to be honest with you. Not that I'd lie to you. I feel like so many in the church, I feel like so many in this church, I'm just going to put it out there, I don't even have to know. There's so many in the church that are still like this with the God. They want to know. And I wonder if we can, for my story, as we question, instead of shaking our fists, may we get on our knees and say, God, I trust you. I don't understand it, but I trust you because you're good. Your track record speaks for it. We can see those in the Bible and those in our life that are hurting and have pain, but they're trusting and they're trusting. Some of you, that's your testimony because I know it in this very room. You've been the proverbial hell on earth. Things that you would not wish on your worst enemy, but somewhere there is truth and there's hope. And when I see people who don't have Jesus, I don't understand correction, I do understand why they turn to other things. Because we will find something. We're going to find hope in something. We're going to turn to hope in something. But my only sales pitch is this. There ain't no hope. I said ain't. There ain't no hope except Jesus. It's true. It is real. I can testify to that. Some of you in this room are the biggest encouragements to me because of what you've been through and what you've gone through. So I want us to end a little differently. We're going to stand and sing in just a minute a song of praise and shout to the Lord because that's what we need to do. But before that, can I be just completely transparent with you? We're going to have a time of prayer, and I just want you to bare your soul and be honest. I'm not asking you to come down. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. But look right at me. We can leave this very room today. How long, how long, how long? And it could be the same business as usual when we leave. And some of us will go to small groups, and we'll have an opportunity to discuss this and to lean on one another, which that's the part of the community of God. Would you pray fervently, would you ask the Holy Spirit to just compel you to be obedient, whatever that may be? I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Travis is going to come up. Would you just take a deep breath and exhale for just a minute and start by just praising God for who He is? And in this moment, not out loud, but would you just find that area, find that situation, find whatever that may be, and would you confess it to God and say, God, I need you to answer. I need you to look on me. I need you to give light to my eyes. And you know what it is. Nobody else has to know, but you know. Would you just quietly just confess that to Him? Say, God, you know my soul. You know my pain. You know my sorrow. You know what I'm waiting on. And every head bowed and every eye closed. And before we stand and sing, nobody wants to need to know your diary. The Lord knows. But I'm going to ask a simple thing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to pray for you. It would be a travesty for me to go through a text like this and not have a chance to pray for those. If there is something that you are questioning and you're just in struggle and you're in waiting mode and you're just saying, God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I don't need to know it, but I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand up and put it back down so I can see you? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I'm just going to pray for you. Anybody else? Thank you. Saying, God, I'm questioning how long, where are you, what's going on? I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting. Anybody else? Thank you. Oh, thank you. Awesome. I want to pray for those who rose their hand really quickly, and then we're going to stand, and we're going to end with a closing song of praise and celebration, and then we're done. Father, I thank you for today. I pray for those who raised their hand specifically, God. There's something in their life that they're waiting. They're questioning and they're wondering when you're going to intervene. God, would the battle cry of their life be that what David said? God, look on me, answer me, give light to my eyes. That would be the declaration in the prayer life that they would have. Would you and your Holy Spirit, God, would you just surround them and protect their hearts, protect their minds, and let them feel your embrace? And let them see you moving. Let them feel your presence as you're helping them navigate through this. May they lean on you. May they press into you. May they turn to you. May you reveal your intimate face to them. That's my prayer. And we ask it in the great name of King Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.